Hey everybody, this is James Lindsay and you are listening to New Discourses Bullets, where I give a short bullet point like summary of a single topic from woke Marxism or wokeness overall that we need to understand so that we can defeat it. And I had this, I did an Only Subs. If you don't know what Only Subs is, this is my subscribers only podcast. Most of them are fairly short like this. Some of them I've started experimenting with doing long ones, but they're more personal, they're more experimental. Some of them are, I'm just trying to give a, you know, thank you, something exclusive to the people who actually pay to support New Discourses, which might be you. And if it is, thank you. And if it's not, you know, consider signing up because I put out these podcasts and then I end up in situations like this. My goal with New Discourses, not that this is the point of the podcast, has always been to operate like I'm a 501c3 that is not a 501c3. I am an LLC. I'm a for-profit company, but I put out basically everything I do for free. The James Lindsay Only Subs podcast is my only paywalled content at all. And subscribers can get it for however small the smallest subscription is, which is pretty small. I don't want to quote it in case I get it wrong, but it's not very much money. If you want to be that, that's fantastic. It keeps us going, but I'm not going to do a commercial for myself here. This is the situation I ended up in. I did a podcast. I put it out on Only Subs, James Lindsay Only Subs platform behind a paywall, a couple of weeks ago, and I got like a million messages, probably like 12, honestly, taking the hyperbole out, saying, this podcast is incredible. More people need to hear it. Are you going to do a version for everybody? I wish I could share it, but I can't share a paywall podcast, to which I thought, you know, why don't you just spend a few dollars and buy your friend a subscription that you want to send it to, but okay. And then I thought, well, my mission is to put information out. I'm like the worst businessman or worst grifter ever. So I thought, all right, it's been out a couple of weeks, and all apologies to the Only Subs people, the subscribers who have had exclusive access to that one. I'm going to take away your exclusivity. I'm going to roughly make a similar argument again here. So pardon my long preamble, almost 3 minutes of not telling you the point of this podcast, but what I did was a short episode on my paywalled platform that explains the subtle genius behind the term woke right in terms of the dialectic. So immediately I'm using terms like dialectic, and now you understand why I put it behind the paywall, because that's for like the special people who are truly engaged, and I don't want to explain the dialectic all the time. But the general gist of a dialectic is that you get two sides that fight with each other, but they actually kind of are using each other to generate energy through conflict to drive something toward a common solution. Okay, so Marx's program, for example, was called dialectical materialism. The dialectic was the fundamental tension, for example, one of the dialectics that he names is between the ruling class and the working class, the bourgeoisie versus the proletariat. Okay, so they're in fundamental conflict. Their class conflict itself generates an energy for revolution, which either, Marx says, results in revolution or in the common ruin of the contending classes. Okay, so there's those two possible outcomes. So that's the dialectic there. Generally, you might see, let's say that you had the desire to install a social credit system, right? You maybe have heard of this called problem reaction solution too. So, which is a formulation of the dialectic in practice. So let's say you wanted to install a social credit system in your society. Okay. How would you go about doing that? Well, let's say that you have the left party come out really hard and push for a social credit system in order to stamp down on all these inequalities like transphobia and homophobia and racism and classism and all these unfair things, right? And you know there's going to be a reaction to this. So there's your problem. You have those radicals coming in and, you know, doing this to your society and trying to force, their goal is to get a social credit system or the apparatus necessary to install one later built, right? So then you get all these problems. And so the reaction is, oh no, we're not going to do that. Marxism's really bad. What we need to do is return to a high virtue society for heritage Americans only, right? And so we're going to have some kind of a system to determine who has the right theology, who has the right values, who's patriotic enough, and so on. And so both of them are actually working toward building the apparatus that makes the social credit system, where the contents of what the social credit system achieves is to be filled in later. So the solution becomes build the apparatus in both cases that a social credit system can be programmed on and implemented on. And so you have a left party that's pushing for it for, say, anti-racism, and you have a right party that's pushing for it for, you know, got to remember the heritage Americans that we're representing, so woke left and woke right, and they fight over who's supposed to be benefited by the social credit system that they want to build to enforce the system, while both of them are actually pushing for the social credit system anyway. That's dialectics. There are other dialectics, the transformation of quality into quantity and quantity into quality and so on. We're not getting into all the details. I have digressed and tried not to do so. The point of the podcast that I gave on OnlySubs was that there is this always left-right dialectic. And in fact, that the woke left has been really good at playing against this dialectic. So think about, you know, Bella Dodd back in the 1950s saying we collect all the good words to ourselves and we put all the bad words to our enemies. So in particular, she gives the example that after World War II, there were the fascists, right? So the fascists were bad. And so communists are against fascism, just like fascists are against communism. P.S. guys, that's a dialectic. They're two parts of the same program. But anyway, Bella Dodd, defected communist, speaking for the House Committee on Un-American Activities, which a lot of people call the House Un-American Activities Committee, which is also now called the House Judiciary Committee. It still exists. It's a little bit different, but that's what it is. So she's testifying in 1953, and she explains, so we call ourselves anti-fascists, the communists do, so that we can call all of our enemies fascist. So then you get these two poles. Do you want to be fascist or anti-fascist? Well, fascist sounds bad. Join the anti-fascists, and they slowly seduce and subvert you into communism because that's so-called true anti-fascism. Have the same thing going on the woke right today. You have that they're the only true anti-Marxists. By the way, Mussolini and Hitler both did this. So did Franco. So the fascist dictators of Europe in the 20th century did the same trick. They're the only true anti-Marxists. So if you want to stop woke neo-Marxism, you have to join their radical movement, okay? You get the same exact thing. So do you want to be a, you know, trans race communist? If you don't, there's only one option. That's the picture of the dialectic paints for you. And it's to become a what the kids call a wing gnat, which is to say a right wing nut job, or actually woke right. Okay, so that's the dialectic, trying to get you to dump into these poles. And the left is really good at this game. They're much better than the right, but they're very, very good at this game. It's sad to see the right trying to play the same game. But basically, what they've been able to do over the past decade is post up, not just against the fascists. We saw them call everybody, remember, everybody's a fascist, everybody's a Nazi, punch a Nazi. That was the left playing this game. And you saw this, not just hollow out those terms of their meaning. Everybody's a racist, everybody's a fascist, everybody's a Nazi. But then they put in the two poles. You can either be a racist or an anti-racist. You can either be a fascist or an anti-fascist, right? They put the dialectical poles in there. So when the alt-right came on the scene a little over a decade ago, it was, we've got to stop the alt-right. And they called everybody alt-right, and they did the polls. So it's, you're either on the left or you're alt-right. So everybody in the universe, even lots of center-left people were called, annoyingly center-left people, were called alt-right. If you agreed with anything somebody vaguely conservative ever said, you were alt-right, according to the left. They were doing the dialectical splitting, poll driving. Okay, so alt-right turns into this destroyed term. There's not that the alt-right was a good thing, but there was a place where people were kind of like coalescing around an ideology that's in opposition to all this woke crap, kind of before anybody else was really clear on it. And it turns out the left destroyed that term using the dialectic. They then progressed to creating a boogeyman out of the Proud Boys. So it was the left, Antifa versus the Proud Boys. And it doesn't matter. You call them the new right, you call them the dissident right, you call it whatever. It doesn't matter. They're going to get labeled as the big thing from the left that everybody has to stop, and their media apparatus, what I used to refer to as a vertically integrated messaging apparatus, is going to go into full drumbeat mode at some point and say they are the problem. The alt-right, the dissident right, the fascists, the neo-fascists, the Nazis, the neo-Nazis, whatever it is, the new right, the new Christian right, the Christian nationalists, they are the problem. You saw them for the last 5 years trying to set up this same exact dialectical trick with Christian nationalism, and you saw a huge part of the Christian right fall into the hole that was dug for them by the left, this dialectical trap. What's the point there? To get rid of the First Amendment, to get rid of that protection that's there, because now the state needs to have a religion to box out the Marxist religion, which is becoming a state religion. You can see the broken logic. So the left creates this dialectical pole that has the same goal in the long run anyway. My point in this paywalled podcast, which I encourage you to go listen to in its original form because I talked about some other things. My point in the paywalled podcast was to say that they can post, the left can post up against anything. Let me be more specific. The woke left can post up against anything. The goal is to make it left versus right. So they can post up against alt-right, Proud Boys, fascist, Nazi, whatever, new right, new Christian right, Christian nationalists, but they can't post up against woke right. Woke right actually short circuits the dialectic. If you believe in horseshoe theory, where the woke left is down on the far left end and the woke right is down on the far right end, it actually makes the ends touch each other, and where they touch is at the word woke. And so what happens is, if the woke right is recognized as the woke right, and we all recognize them as woke right. This is strategic, by the way. It's actually true that they're woke, but this is just a strategic justification for using the term beyond the fact that it's true. This is like an added bonus that you get out of reality when you say true things, is that other things that are true also fall into place. So this is a strategic value. If they are the woke right, the woke left can't say we've got to stop the woke right, because they have to use the word woke to do it. It's not the new right, they could post up against that. It's not the dissident right, they could post up against that. It's not neo-fascism, they could post up against that. I got asked by several people, actually, who don't like the term woke right, why don't you just call us sometimes, or them from other people outside, fascists, because that's what they are. Well, because the left can post up against fascists. That's why. And the woke right wants to be called fascists in some cases, which I don't really understand, but fine. They think that that term has been hollowed out enough of meaning so that they can occupy it and lure people into it and cause an actual fascist movement. But they can't, the left can't post up, the woke left can't say something about the woke right without all eyes being on the real problem, which is woke. If you think of it as being in a fight with two people at the same time, you have normal civil society fighting with the radicals on the left and the radicals on the right. So you have these two thugs who don't like each other, but they're trying to get you. It's like getting them on the same side of you. If you're ever in a fight with two people, you want them on the same side of you. You don't want one in front of you and one behind you, unless you're like Jackie Chan or something. You can't fight that way. You want them on the same side of you, if possible, both of them in front of you, ideally, and not behind you, right? And so the only way to get them both in front of us is to have some point in common where we see this dialectical pole of bad left versus bad right as bad on common ground. And that common ground turns out to be that they're both woke. It manifests differently. It is true that the woke right is woke. Those arguments are out there. They're voluminous. I'm not going to repeat them here, but it is true. I'm not asking anybody to say anything that's not true for merely strategic purposes. Unlike the woke right, I am not Machiavellian, whereas they are openly Machiavellian. I am saying that this is a true thing that has a strategic value to it. And that value is that the woke left cannot create a dialectical posture against the woke right without everybody realizing that the real problem is woke, which both of them occupy. And this explains why, so far in the media, you will not see people on the left using the term woke right very much, except kind of the, you know, handful here or there. In fact, I've been criticized by Vox, by Zach Beauchamp of Vox, for using the term woke right. It turns out they don't like the term. The woke left that are really woke get it, not these kind of effete, very smart people like idiot liberals who don't get anything. The actual woke, the radicals, get it. They understand that if for them to go after the woke right means to put the spotlight on the word woke. Turns out this is because it's derivative terminology. Woke right is not something that would have received that name if there was not a woke left. When you use derivative terminology and you refer to the thing that is derivative, it reminds you of the primary. So if you say woke right, it's not possible to think of woke right without also thinking of woke left, because that's the nature of a derivative term. And therefore, this is also why people are having a hard time with the term woke right, but therefore, the woke left can't dialectically post up against the woke right by that name, but they can and they will break the country to their own victory to post up against any other name. So this is why I prefer calling them woke right, even against other really great terms like right-wing Leninists or right-wing Gramsciists, which are a little technical also and require a lot more unpacking. So that was the podcast. I've now shared it widely with you all, with everybody for free. But do encourage people, consider it yourself, to join the James Lindsay Only Subs platform. You get access to all those podcasts. There are already hundreds of them that you can go back, there's backlogs of them, to hear my more experimental and personal thoughts for a honestly very, very low subscription price. So if you are willing and interested, go sign up. It keeps New Discourses running. That's the only way this company makes money, except for like YouTube ads or whatever. So I strongly encourage you to do that. There's going to be lots of content on there, and I'm not always going to pull it back out from under the paywall. The people who are paying to keep me going, to keep me supported, deserve something that's uniquely theirs. But they encouraged me that this argument was so important that I wanted to share it with everybody. So here it is.